tonight to the March 3rd town council meeting. Gladys and Steve and myself are live, and Elizabeth is on Zoom. I don't know that Jimmy's got in yet. Okay, so we have a quorum anyway. So we'll go ahead and start. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. If everybody will stand and face the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. So, to begin with, we were going to approve the December and February minutes. And Judy, bless her heart, has been down here all morning. The printer isn't working. The computer isn't talking to the printer. So we're going to have to put them off till April. We have Don. The next on the agenda is Don Budzinski. I think I got it right this time. He is going to give us some tips on cybersecurity.
Where should I?
Just come on over here, Don, to one of these speakers. Turn on the little button, that little button, and make sure that the speaker or that the microphone is in front of you so people can hear.
So I volunteered to provide a little cybersecurity seminar because there was an incident of a hacking in Boulder, and there's a lot of this going on lately, and it's important, especially now with all the, what would you call it, you know, cyber incidents happening, the situation in Russia. So it could get much bigger than just a personal thing. So anyway, the thing that they usually use is called phishing. And it's not phishing like when you go in the Garcane, it's P-H-I-S-H. And what it is, this is the definition of phishing, is phishing is the attempt to acquire sensitive information such as usernames, passwords, and credit card details by masquerading as a trustworthy entity in an electronic communication. It's also used as a means of spreading a virus to the infected computer's contacts. So I wanted to give you some concrete examples of how they come at you. And everybody does email nowadays. So just use your imagination. If you put yourself in the shoes of these pirates, what kind of bait would you use to get people to bite? So some of the common ones are UPS and FedEx. You get an email, your package is delayed. Click here to find out why. Click here to search where it is now. The email looks just like UPS. It has the colors, it has the logo. You wouldn't think that it's any kind of masquerade. Well, of course they're doing that because it's not that hard to grab the logo, make it look like a UPS. The minute you click on the link, the payload gets delivered, pow, and your computer is infected. Your bank, there's suspicious activity in your bank, and click here to see why. You're overdrawn. IRS, your tax refund's being delayed due to insufficient data. Click here to see why. All these things make people say, oh my gosh, my package is delayed. My tax return, the refund won't come. Your prescription refill is not available because it's such and such. Click here. Once again, Walgreens logo, Walgreens colors. The email looks just like it. So people say, well, how can I know what to trust? You don't trust any of it. You don't trust anything that comes in an email like that. If your package is delayed, you could go to FedEx.com and search for it. You go to Amazon.com, you go to Chase Bank or whatever. You never trust these links in the email itself. So how do they infect you? Two ways, either the attachment or the hyperlink. So, you know, the blue clickable link inside the body of the email. Well, that's one way the payload gets delivered. It's the landmine. So you, you.
So come up to the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. The lead to be an attachment, like a PDF file or an EXE file, that's a landmine too. Or there'll be a hyperlink that you click on and the payload gets delivered. So when somebody clicks on that, there's a few different things that can happen. Sometimes right away, something will go off where you'll see some screen that says, your data is all encrypted, or send 2 bitcoins to this and this address. Or call this phone number and, you know, we'll get you out of this or whatever. So the situation is you have to distrust all of it. And the slogan I recommend is to be vigilant, bordering on paranoid. And that's really the way to be now with anything that comes your way through email that seems to be worrisome. So if you tiptoe around the landmine, you delete that email, the payload doesn't get delivered. One other thing that happens sometimes with this kind, these kind of infections is it's a silent infection. So nothing happens when you click on it, but you don't realize they've just installed some kind of tracker on your machine. So they can see all your mouse clicks. They can see what you're doing on your screen. So they might be sitting in Bulgaria or Estonia or Nigeria, who knows where, and they're watching everything you're doing. And they could see every mouse click and every keystroke. So that's like a silent infection where you don't have a big screen announcing that, you know, you've been infected. So it's very insidious. Here's an example. Is a client of mine was a real estate attorney, and he was doing this deal with somebody, and they needed to make the final payment on the property purchase. So they got this email saying, don't send the final payment to this bank, send it to this bank. And it seemed to be coming from this attorney because the hackers were on the machine. They were masquerading as this lawyer. And so they were sending to this client who's about to buy a building, send your final 200,000, whatever it was, to this bank. So the person went ahead and did that. Well, you can imagine what happened when the deal came close to needing the real payment. The lawyer called up, where's your final payment? I sent it to the bank you told me. I didn't tell you anything. It came from your email. So somebody was in there masquerading as this lawyer, and there went the money. And it was some bank in Romania or who knows where.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was just gone. So some people say, well, I clicked on this one from such and such because I've known her since sixth grade. And why wouldn't I click on that? Because it wasn't her. It was somebody masquerading as her. So my rule of thumb, which sounds paranoid, is if I didn't ask for it, if I'm not expecting it, I don't click on it. Really, really. And even if it's from somebody I've known a whole bunch of years, it might not be them. Their machine might be compromised. So what these people do is exactly that. They know that you're willing to trust someone you've known for a long time. You're going to click on what they're sending. So another thing that they're doing now, of course, instead of just with computers, it is with the telephone. And they'll call and they'll say, maybe y'all got, everybody's nodding and agreeing, yeah, we got those. Hello, this is Microsoft. Caller ID? Microsoft. But it said Microsoft. You can spoof the caller ID. So people used to think, well, caller ID is wow, that's a great feature. I know who's calling. No, you don't. So it's spoofed. Yeah. So you pick up the phone and you say, hello, this is Microsoft. We want you to be satisfied. And so we're going to clean your machine because you're a loyal Microsoft Windows customer. Well, what should I do? We're going to remote control your machine and then we'll clean it real good. And oh yeah, so while they're on there, they're harvesting all your contacts. Who knows what they're planting in terms of these trackers and everything. So the rule of thumb with I don't even answer my landline because if they want to leave a message, that's fine. Leave a message, I'll call you back. It's something I really know. So this is happening a lot with on phones and through your computer. And they do things too, like they call them, this is a Wells Fargo Bank. And the caller ID will say Wells Fargo Bank. There's been suspicious activity on your account. Oh no, you know, what should I do? Well, let's go over your statistics and your login information or whatever. And they'll actually have you give your social security number, your birthday and things like that.
I don't do that.
Yeah. Well, if you're Wells Fargo, you know my social security number and yeah, my birthday. So all these things are happening like in epidemic proportions almost. You hear a lot about ransomware. So real quick, I'll just explain what that is.
the worst kind of payload is when you click on it and all of a sudden all your file names are changed and all your files are locked and encrypted. And this happened to a client of mine. He got an email that had an attachment that said, here's an accounting summary for our shared client. And this was a type of targeted phishing. And so click on this accounting summary. Once he did, that was the landmine. So all the files on his computer, all the files on the server in their accounting firm were encrypted, which means they're just scrambled and locked and you can't do anything about it. And then there's a screen comes up that says, call this number, you know, we'll arrange for the Bitcoin payment, and then we'll send you the decryption and they'll decrypt your files. So ransomware is happening all over the place. It's the weakest link in any organization. If there's just one person in a company of 80 people, 100 people, whatever, and isn't observing this kind of watch what you click on, you know, don't trust anything you get unless you asked for it. If you weren't expecting it, don't click on it. So once this happens, then you're kind of up the creek. You have to go back to last night's backup, or you have to pay the Bitcoin ransom and then hope that they'll send you the decryptor to decrypt your files. So
I remember when on our PC, when we had trouble, we could go back, like you said, to the day before.
Right.
Can you still do that now and be safe doing that when they do that?
Yeah, you can, because what they do, they've encrypted your files in that moment in time. So if you go back to your backup, the problem is, and a lot of people don't realize this, is when they do ransomware and they encrypt all your files, they also encrypt any external devices. So like if you have your external USB hard drive, that is your destination for your backup. I hate to tell you, that's also encrypted.
Wow.
And if you have a server in your organization, in your company, your social service agency, if that server is visible to everybody and they can share files off of it, that gets encrypted too, because it's visible to the hacker. So now your so-called backup is encrypted unless it's been detached, you know, after the backup happened last night or something like that.
How many times can you help people out when that happens?
Well, usually you can't. That's why people pay money, because I mean, there's even like the police department or whatever in Illinois, there's a Midlothian police department had this happen to them. And they just had to have egg all over their face by admitting that we don't have any way to restore that. So let's just pay the whatever it was, 50,000 or 80,000 or something like that. And then hope that you'll get the crypto. Maybe it'll just keep your money and then you're doubly damned. You know,
what's the best way to protect yourself against that?
Like I'm saying, it's the weakest link. You have to be vigilant, border than paranoid. Anytime you see the paperclip on the email, it's like you back off. That's the landmine. That's how the payload gets delivered. The minute you click on that, pow, you've infected yourself. And the same thing if there's the link inside the body of the email and you click on that, that's the same thing. The payload's delivered. And then here comes the infection, and you know, you have these different types of infections. Somebody just lurking there, watching what you're doing, or right away in your face with a big screen saying pay now. And actually it's like a business, because they'll have an account number on there. They'll say, call this phone number and give this ID. This is your ransomware infection ID. And so you call, they say, what's your account number? You know, it's a business. It's just really scary.
Wow.
So like I said, it seems paranoid, but if you didn't ask for it, if you're not expecting it, you shouldn't click on it, and because the stakes are so high. And that's what I observe, and a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to do that because it's just over the top. That's, you know, I can't go to that extent. Well, then, okay, fine, then enjoy your infection. So what happened in Boulder is luckily they didn't encrypt the files. They just like locked it so you couldn't get at your stuff. There's just a screen up there. You couldn't give your password. You couldn't get into your Windows. So I was able to just boot the machine up with Unix and go behind the scenes and get all the data and put it on an external drive. Luckily, that wasn't a slick enough hacker who knew how to encrypt the files. They just like blocked you from getting at them. So I just did this backdoor thing to get the files and put them on an external hard drive.
Wow.
So if that happens like to you know, a municipality or something like that, where there's all this responsibility and you know, state funds and things like that, it's you just kind of up the creek. So that's why I thought I would explain some of this because the stakes are so high. I mean, that's just a real quick version. And people are saying, well, who's doing this and why can't they be prosecuted? That's a question I get a lot of times. Well, okay, if the money's going to a bank in Romania, there's no one world government. So there's no way to, who's the prosecuting agency to go after them? And in a lot of cases too, like a country like Romania, they don't even have the euro yet. It's such a basket case economically. So if all this money's coming into their country, chances are the higher ups will look the other way because it'll be spent in their country and they'll stimulate their economy and things like that. So there's no agency that could prosecute who's ever doing this. And it's not going to stop. It's a cat and mouse game. And so even when there's some kind of protection devised because you find out some vulnerability, well, then they'll leapfrog over that. And then you have to figure out, oh, gosh, they blew past that. Now let me see what I can do now. So what it boils down to is, like I'm saying, is the weakest link in any organization that is not being vigilant, bordering on paranoid, which is the slogan I recommend.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you.
So let me ask.
Yeah.
So does, if you have like protection on your computer, does that for the smart enough or just?
No, because if you're stepping on the landmine, you know, it's pretty much kapow. And, and it isn't like the antivirus can stop and block it as it's being executed. So it only goes so far. The thing with these like Google searches that people do, this is another way to get infected, is anything free, like free screensavers, free games, free music, free this. I hate to tell you, that's the bait. They're dangling it. You know, you want that goldfish screensaver where they swim around your screen? There's something connected to it. And so you have to make an attractive piece of bait for somebody to go for it. And another thing to be careful too is, like, if your printer's not working and you want to download the latest driver for your HP printer and you search on under Google, I hate to tell you, a whole bunch of those matches are infectors. So you should only go to hp.com to get the driver, not like somebody else who claims to be, here's the HP LaserJet such and such driver.
That's good to know.
Yeah. And same thing, like when you search for, I think I'll clean my own computer instead of hiring somebody to do it. And you search for computer cleaners. Most of those masquerading as cleaners are really infectors. And once again, put yourself in the shoes of the people doing this. So they're thinking like, that's a pretty slick way. So you're trying to so-called clean your machine, you're infecting it further because that's what you just downloaded.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what's happening. And somebody was asking me about cyber warfare. And, you know, that's what's happening now where Anonymous is hacking Russia. And so things are getting to the point where it's going to be like the Twilight Zone almost, because our cyber warriors have to be better than their cyber warriors. Otherwise, they win. And they dictate the terms of surrender. So
as the average Joe, Gladys was asking you, like, we have Norton. Is it good to have something?
Sure. Norton has been doing this since the 80s, you know, before the internet, before Windows and everything. So that's a really reputable antivirus, but it only goes so far. It only goes so far. And it can't withstand these kind of attacks when you click on something, because when you click on that, you're executing this program. And it's going to go ahead and do what it's going to do.
So you're just inviting them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Norton, sometime when you surf on the internet, you're getting ready to go to some malicious website or something, it'll put up a thing saying, warning, that website is known to be malicious or nefarious or something. And then you can stop doing it. It helps you with that. But the main thing, like I'm saying, is vigilant, bordering on paranoid, and you'll be a lot better off.
Okay.
So.
Now that we're all paranoid.
Well, now that you're all paranoid, hopefully you'll also be vigilant.
Yes.
Oh, one more thing I was giving, just to finish. I was giving a seminar with a client back in Chicago, and somebody during a question and answer raised their hand and said, is this the end of the internet? And I was thinking, you know, I never thought of that, but if people are so scared that they can't even search, they can't even click, they can't do anything. So somebody came up with a funny thing, carrier pigeons.
Good, my nephew has them.
Really?
Well, he's got That's what he does.
So I thought, what a good idea. Go back to Curious. They have to shoot him out of the sky to get the message off the plane. So.
Well, thank you so much, okay. John. We appreciate it. I mean, you've given us at least some good information to watch for.
And all the different ways
things
to come
to be
at
alert,
you.
You know?
And distrust all that stuff. You know, your bank balance is this and your Amazon is that and this and that. I don't believe you. Go straight to Amazon, go straight to FedEx, go straight to the website itself, not via a link in a suspicious email or, you know, one that looks real good. It's UPS, it's got the brown colors, it's got the logo. So I could make a bogus email that's got colors and the logo, and you can't trust it.
Thank you. Yeah. That's good. Seriously. And thanks for volunteering. That was great.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to do it. Now that I'm living here, I'm coming up on my 2-year anniversary of buying a property in Kingston. Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I hear you're off to vacating or doing something fun.
Well, we have a house in the Chicago area we're still preparing. Good. So we're kind of going back and forth.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So
one more question.
If you initiate it, if you want to wonder if that check made it to the bank, are you generally safe to go check your bank account?
Yeah, what I'm saying though is go straight to the bank. Don't trust these, your accounts are overdrawn and they put fear into you. Uh-huh. And IRS, your tax return is delayed. Okay. Click here to find out why. The click here is the crux of it.
That's right.
So anytime you see the paperclip, you say, wait a minute, I'm not going to click on that. The blue hyperlink inside the body of the message, I'm not going to click on that. And so you tiptoed around the landmine instead of stepping and then delete that message and delete it from your trash and everything.
Okay.
So.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Next on the agenda. Okay. Codification of the minutes. Did everybody have a chance to read that, the link that they send us? Peg had put this little bit of tidbit in here, and I want to read it because I think it's really important. She said, both town and planning commission, I'd estimate we average 4 pages per body per month. The board of adjustment would also be included, but for at least the past 6 or 7 years, it produces 1 page per year. So if we're taking 96 pages a year, codifying 4 years worth of minutes would just about meet the 300 minimum startup fee. Then it's an annual fee plus the 75 cents a page thereafter. And she said, I believe this is just a justifiable expenditure where both Pig and Judy have had to go through the minutes. People have wanted to know what's happened and in the past, and it's really quite a process. So I kind of like the idea, but I want to get feedback from anybody from the council. Gladys, what do you think?
Well, first I was kind of opposed to it, but then if you think that it cuts down on hours of work, and then at the page email about how many pages, I think I'm probably okay with it.
Okay, Stu?
I guess my question, and maybe it's been answered, is how frequently would this be, if looking at the past, would this have been a beneficial thing? I'm glad we've got it.
Oh, quite a bit, isn't it, Judy? You answered to that.
Every single minute.
Okay.
And Peg gets the same thing.
Okay, I mean, if it's something that's useful.
Yeah.
I
really believe it is. Once we get past the first 300, the initial fee, then it's 250 a year, and it's plus a page amount for 75 cents a page, so that's not too bad. But
okay.
I've seen the minutes back there, and I haven't gone through them, only a couple, but I can understand why they would both like it. So, Elizabeth, have you got anything out there you want to comment on?
I agree. You know, I understand here what Gladys brought up with, you know, the expense, but I also think knowing the time that it saves for Judy and then also being able to bring in either, you know, with the new position of advertising and as an assistant and the communication between the both planning commission and town council, I think it's a really great use of money in the end, as well as the usability of it once they're for people in town to be able to access and understand and make sure that they're looking at the most current, because that's something that in the past people are like, well, I was going off of this version. And someone's like, well, this was the one that was posted. So I think it's a great use.
Okay, very good. All right, well, and I don't think Jimmy's come on yet, right? All right.
You need a motion for that?
Yes.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we go ahead with the, what do we call it?
The codification.
Codification of the minutes for the town and the planning commission and the board of adjustments.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, Gladys?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
And Judy, yes. All right, that passes, good. All right, now, the emergency plan updating. Basically, we are just gonna cover that tonight. I'm real serious about getting us up and running on the emergency plan. You know, watching this last year and everything that has happened, and where we're in an area, we've had so little moisture and we're all concerned about fires and everything. We've got to get our emergency plan up and running, and so that everyone knows what to do in this town. And it's a concern, I believe it is anyway. So, but for tonight, and what we have to do is, once we get all the names and get them all right, then we have to have a public hearing and vote on it next month. So that's why we're addressing it now. And hopefully we'll address more next month on the emergency plan. We'll go through it just a little bit more if we have the time. I'm gonna put it on the agenda for voting in the public hearing. And then if we have any more questions or need to talk more about it, and Jimmy will be here. And I thought Corey was gonna be here. Is Corey online? Okay, I thought he was gonna be here tonight. So
Judy, can I ask just what are we trying to accomplish with this emergency plan?
Well,
what is the purpose of it? And so you said something about names. Okay.
So tonight, that I sent you the names of, this thing hasn't been updated, Gladys. Bill Muse was still mayor the last time it was updated. And you saw in what I sent you, the people that aren't, didn't you? Oh, you didn't get to open yours?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Wait a minute.
That's okay.
Actually, let me give you this. Let me let you see this one.
I can look at Steve's here just a minute.
Okay, you got Steve's over there. So as you can see, if you look at the old one, Bill Muse was still mayor, okay? So what we need to do is update the names and who's in charge of what. So like, before, it had you as mayor pro tem and was in charge of organization of religious groups, schools, and businesses. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, probably those many years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We really do need to update this. So what I decided that what we would do tonight is basically assign these different areas to the council. And then we'll fine tune them as we go along. I don't know that we'll change them. If we need to change them, we can, but that's kind of why I'd like to get a feel for tonight, because then we'd have to have a public hearing and change them again. So I sent you the message and asked everybody what they would like to take. Jimmy sent me a message and he said he would like to do the water and sewer with his dad because they know where everything is. And to me, that makes sense. So Is everybody fine with that? How about you, Elizabeth? Does that sound right? Did you
that
get
sounds
that?
Fine. Yeah, I did get it.
Okay.
So he's taking on the one that previously was Randy Ripplinger.
Yes, he's going to take what was previously Randy Ripplinger's. And then Steve told me today that he talked about taking Wendell's place. I thought that would be a good idea, which is the road, streets, and public buildings.
And I'm fine. Just leave me where I am right there.
Okay. Are you fine with what you have? Okay. So then, Elizabeth, if you're okay, then what I did was... I put you down for the fire, search and rescue, and EMS, where you've had that before. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
And it would really be good if we all read our emergency plan. It is, and the county has, I brought some papers here tonight, the county, Garfield County Emergency Operation Plan. And in our plan, it references different agencies that can help us, and we need to do training. That's why I was kind of hoping Corey would be here and Jimmy, because they could basically tell us.
And I do believe there's one that's more current than this one, because I know we did it, Gladys and I was already on town council, and it was something that was required of the part of the fire council had to do something and put it together, and they presented it to us. And so I would say before we keep moving forward with this, because we had to update a significant amount of this information, because you're looking back, I mean, the person that's listed is, you know, this one's from, I think, 2008. And I know we've had more recent, and it was also, there's certain requirements that are of them. And so we should compare the two documents before we kind of finalize anything, in my opinion. Gladys, do you remember that?
I was thinking we'd done something, but I couldn't remember.
And I don't recall it. I remember Judith talking to us about...
Because Steve brought it up and he had us all look at it and we had to update it. And I don't think we finalized it, but we did bring it more updated and more to compliance. And so before you or someone else does a lot of homework on this one, I would say we should look into finding that one, because I think we did a significant amount of work on it.
And did, I don't recall that we, I don't even, I recall Judy talking, but I'll have to talk to Steve and find out.
Yeah, and I can look back through stuff and see if I find it. And I apologize, Judy, because I only got this too late to look at it to really be able to tell you that. And I wanted to know more before I said it, but I agree 100% that it needs to be addressed and we need to have something in place. But I just don't want to make more work for whoever's going to take on that next step until we find the old one and
yeah, we can utilize it. And I'm with you. If we've got more updated stuff on it, then we definitely need to see that. And I'll shoot Steve a message, and if you can look through your stuff.
Yeah, and I'm happy to work with you or anybody else between now and our next meeting to have it kind of more prepared and send it out to everybody with enough notice that we can kind of really dial in and know what we're responsible for.
Okay, that's cool. That is really cool then. So then we'll go ahead and find out more information and we'll address it next month.
And if people want to keep talking about it now, I don't by any means want to push it off, but I think that we have some more information that should be considered.
Okay. Well, and that'll let Corey and Jimmy, because I know they'll have information for us also. So we'll take it from there then.
Okay.
All right. Judy, we will.
I do have a question while we're on this. It's been brought to my attention. When there's a fire, like Stacy's fire, what is the fastest way to get help? Do you call someone in town? Do you call 911? Same with the ambulance.
I think legally we're supposed to call 911.
Okay, I'm asking what's the fastest way, though.
Well,
let's be real. We're in Boulder.
I agree.
I can tell you an incident that I can't speak for fire, Gladys, but I know that there when Troy was serving as an EMT, there was a time that somebody called us directly and he was out and Silas knew and they were already on their way. And then we had the person call, because technically they can't leave with the ambulance until there's a call through the county. But by the time the page went out from the county dispatch, they were already at the shed in the ambulance and could leave. And well, so
what I'm asking honestly.
Yeah. And that would, and I would say, and at least when Troy was on, you know, he would say that because then he could be out the door and I could help kind of be like, okay, the next step is to call this person. And, you know, he was out the door. I called Silas and meanwhile, the people, and then I called and reported it to, you know, dispatch. So they got the call. I assume something similar would be with fire, but I don't know.
And maybe that's the question for the fire department and the EMTs now.
To me, someone said they tried to get, and this is hearsay, so I can only tell you what I heard. They tried to get hold of Corey and couldn't. And so I'm really not 100% sure, but that we'll have both of them here. We'll get that answer settled. And because it, like you say, Gladys, it's, you know, that it's important. So.
And again, I can be saying hearsay, but I know that the few people that I've talked to, like, you know, that this week that were on the fire department, were like, it was Sunday afternoon, we were on a hike and we came in and we got all the missed pages. And so they were out of reception, which it kind of goes back to that whole thing with now whether they choose to take their radios when they do something like that is a different thing. But it's making sure that we have adequate radio coverage. And that was my question last time with those radios that I know they said, well, we drove down your driveway with it, but it's like the radios work at the top of my driveway. They don't work when all the years Troy was an EMT, they didn't work in our house. And, you know, and I know Peter Benson, the little bit that I've talked to him about them is they work in one spot in his house and so on and so forth. And so that's why I kept emphasizing that to get borrowed, you know, to, if we're going to spend money on new radios and new gear, we need to make sure it's gear that works. And I know that years ago they went through with whatever was the latest and we had, you know, there were six different models and they used each one for a week to kind of really see exactly where they got. And, you know, so that went wherever they were, they could get a page.
And another thing I thought about looking at this emergency plan, if we do have an emergency, and we're in charge of different areas, then the person that's in charge of that area, we all need to be able to keep in touch with each other also. So
And so, you know, and it is one of those things that it's like, we need a better response time and that's something. And as we move forward as a town, I mean, looking at it right now, the only two current EMTs we have are Silas and Karen, and Silas is moving within a couple months. And so we're down to one EMT. Legally, you're supposed to have an advanced EMT on the rig to even move, and we don't have one. And you need two EMTs in it to move because you need someone with the patient and someone as a driver. And we're going to be down to one EMT. So we don't even have adequate EMTs right now.
We've got to figure out a way to get around that. We got enough brains. We've got to figure it out because we've got to have some EMTs here.
And I know that I tried really hard for a couple of years working when I was the liaison and even when I was on, before I was on town council and trying to figure out if, and it's a hard one because the town insures the fire department and the county insures the EMTs, but I don't understand why we can't work together and have fire be able to be drivers for our ambulance because they have to, it's the same type of rig. I mean, if you can drive a fire truck, you can drive an ambulance, but we kept coming up of it's a different insurance and, you know, so on and so forth. And then it's also, they have different radios and all that. And it's figuring out how we can collaborate with the county and say, okay, well, we have a finite amount of volunteers and let's utilize them the best we can. And if we have people that are able drivers, then let the people that are able EMTs to be in the back of the bus and not be the drivers.
Jimmy and I are going before the town or the county commission on Monday for the extrication equipment. We're Corey got $5,000 grant for the pagers and the radios, which still leaves $6,000 left. And so we're going to go talk to them and see if they can come up with the extrication money and or part of it, you know, and then the rest we can. I just want to make sure those fire trucks are taken care of. Nobody could get across the road because you can't drive over the hoses. The hoses were leaking. So to me, that fire truck and our EMTs, our emergency stuff, it's got to come first. And so anyway, we're going to the Monday, Jimmy and I are going, and we will bring that up. And I agree, we've got to come up with something. And that, and since we've got volunteers, how many are on the fire department total?
I don't know currently, because I know that even I compared the list that you sent out and even our most recent reimbursements for who went to fire school. And I don't know. I was hoping Jimmy was going to give us an update tonight of that.
I seem to me like there was five of them that Judy paid. Is that right?
But I think because like Lexi's now on it. And I think that I'm pretty sure that her first call was this last Sunday. And she's not on that list. I'm just not totally sure.
Lexi. Oh, okay. Lexi Johnson.
Okay.
So,
but I mean, I know we reimbursed her to go to fire school because that was on the approved checks last month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know, Judy Davis, do they keep a pretty update record for you as far as because of insurance and stuff, or not always? Of who's on it?
Well, we better get that.
As a new resident, can I ask, where do the ambulances come from in the event of a 911 call that I make?
Usually Escalante. If we don't have EMTs, the ambulance.
What was the question?
About the where does the ambulance come from?
Where does the ambulance come from?
If someone in our town calls 911, when a page goes out for Boulder, the dispatch from Garfield County will put out a 506 and a 507. Escalante's ambulance is a 506 and Boulder's is 507. Boulder's can't get called out without Escalante. They can immediately go and serve people in our town, but if they transport anyone, they need somebody from Escalante's ambulance to ride on with them because they need an advanced EMT. And either an Escalante person can get on to Boulder's, or they transport the patient from Boulder's ambulance to Escalante's ambulance. And then depending on the severity, or if someone calls directly, they can do a medevac helicopter. And so if EMTs arrive on scene and they need more, the EMTs will make the call to call a helicopter. If they know at the time, dispatch can call a helicopter and local EMTs at the same time. Did that answer that question?
Very well.
Okay, thank you.
So Elizabeth. Judy, do the fire people, do they have to have a basic first aid class or anything like that?
They do, don't they, Elizabeth?
I assume that the fire has to have basics, Gladys, but I honestly don't know. And I know a couple of years ago, right as we were transitioning from Peter going off of fire and I had been elected but wasn't on town council yet, and he was the liaison, we got together as a meeting and tried to bring them together to see if we could do some basic, beyond basic first aid, even like a wilderness first aid, which is a 4-day course for the fire, just so they had a little bit more to support. And it was kind of, and I just got, we didn't get very far. And part of it was that right after that, the pandemic and everyone kind of separated. there didn't seem to be much interest. And I know the little bit of the conversation we had was the fire department said, we're doing fire because that's what we're interested in. We don't want to do first aid. I think it there to have drivers be helpful.
Repeat that again. What did you say?
Because so
you're breaking up, Elizabeth.
What? That available.
Well, it would definitely help us if we could at least fire people, be able to be the driver.
Yeah. And so we'll have them here at our next meeting and really talk about that stuff, because where we don't have that many volunteers and we've got most of them are on the fire department, sure would be nice to utilize them.
The only other thing is also to recruit people that are only interested in driving, because they did at least, Dennis Bertucci used to just be a driver. And so maybe it's a different pool, right? Because some people might say, well, I'm willing to be a driver, but I don't want to do an EMT course.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. So was that ever advertised for?
No, and I've mentioned it to people and asked, and that's as far as I've gotten.
All right. Well, we'll get this discussion with them next month, and I'm going to talk to the commissioners when we go in Monday. I'll have Jimmy with us, and hopefully they can help or give us some ideas or something. So
it would be nice. I wonder too if we could kind of request like an average response time, and maybe even compare it to Boulder and to Escalante for both the fire, like, over the last couple of years, and EMTs over, because, you know, the fire department's had multiple calls in the last couple of years, and the EMTs, and just so we have an idea of what, to answer Gladys's original question, what is an average response time if you were to go through the Garfield County Dispatch? Because even I can remember a time not too long ago when Mary Jane and Bard had to call EMTs, and Bard ended up calling back 45 minutes later to ask a status update of when they were coming. And the dispatcher said, oh, we never actually called out. And Garfield County then an hour later called EMTs, and then it started the whole process. And so things like that need to be tracked better. So we need information. So if we need to support them better, we have it, but we just don't have that information currently.
How long ago was that?
Last fall, winter.
Okay.
And I tried really hard even to get that reported more, but you know, it was like, well, we don't want to complain. But I'm like, well, if you don't complain, it's going to happen again.
True.
I mean, and I get it, because I don't want to be the one that complains either, but I want the opportunity for us to improve, right? Yeah. And we can't improve and we can't recruit people if we don't know a baseline. And right now, I think we need a baseline of EMT's response time and a baseline of fire response time.
All right, I'm recording you, so I'm going to write that down. All right, let's move on then. And we'll move the emergency stuff till next month and put the stuff that we've got together, yours and Steve's, and get the fire guys here, and so we can get some answers. All right, next on the agenda is the radios, pagers, and the extrication equipment and the fire truck hoses. And I kind of mentioned that. I really want to get those fire trucks, the equipment on those fire trucks, those hoses, and the ramps that go over the hoses on the roads, because nobody can cross over those. If anybody needed to get past or anything, you can't cross over those hoses. So Jimmy was talking about those ramps, but I did talk to him today and they didn't get a quote on that. And they're going to have to do that so that we can address that. Because to me, I don't know, my thought is that's more important than the extrication equipment right this minute. That equipment, did I bring it? Yes, sir.
Do they need new hoses?
Yes, they got, okay. Some of the hoses have got holes in them, and
And we need, I would say we need all of those items itemized in there and have them ahead of time so we can put it on the agenda so we can approve it. And
yeah, well, they were shooting for we wanted to get the pagers and the radios first. And Corey got the $5,000 a grant to help on the pagers. So where the extrication equipment $16,250. We thought we'd go to the county with that and see if we could get them to help us with that. But they do not have, I asked him today if he had a quote for the hoses and the those ramps, whatever they are that cover the hoses on the road.
Yeah. And they were the same. It was what Corey asked about last month.
Yeah. So I'm still going to talk to him about this because if nothing else, the hoses and the those hose ramps that cover the hoses, that can either come out of the ARPA money or it can come out of the fire department, because I don't think you're going to see that kind of money like this extrication, the clamps, the jaws. This is $16,250. So we'll get them busy on getting the quotes for the hoses and stuff. Jimmy and I'll go to the county on Monday and see if we can't get them to help us with this. And then the pagers and the radios, we definitely have $5,000 on that. If we have to, we can finish that up with ARPA funds. So
there is money set aside already for them that would also cover it. But I do think when you bring it to the county, I think it's really important that the pagers and the radios that the fire department is picking out communicate successfully with the pagers that the county is providing for EMTs.
So then what do you want to see them before we okay the money for the pagers and radios? You want them to rent some more and make sure that they're getting the distance or what?
I don't necessarily know if it's like that needs to happen. We just need to make sure that we're picking ones that are the most successful where we are and that they work with the county issued ones for the EMTs.
Well, I'll double check with them, but I thought that was what they'd already discussed and said they did.
I assume that that's where they're going, but I just want to double check is all.
All right. Well, I'll make sure that I find out with Jimmy, but I would like to make a motion tonight on the pagers and the radios because we could move forward with that before next month. Like I said, Corey got $5,000 to pay on the pagers, and we can use whatever money that we have left if we decide to take it off the ARPA, or we, Elizabeth said we had money set aside for that. So it's covered one way or another. So we might as well okay it tonight, make a motion, okay it, so that they can at least get them ordered. How do you feel about that?
Judy, you're wanting to make a motion based on the information that was presented the last meeting?
Yeah, because that was they brought the quotes in on the one pagers and
I wasn't at the meeting in person, and so I didn't get all the documentation. But if everybody else that was there got to see it and feels like it was accurate, I just never saw it all.
Okay, how do you two feel about it?
Well, okay. I agree with Elizabeth. They better be so that they work. There's no sense spending money on something that doesn't work again. You know what I mean?
All right.
And that the towers work.
That's a bad word, tower. I'm kidding. All right. So
should we do like a motion? I mean, I know you're wanting one, so I'm not saying this one. I'm just asking something like this, that we're saying based on the information provided last meeting with the stipulation that it's going to be, you know, that Monday when you all are at the county, that you also are coordinating it. So like something that's taking into consideration what was discussed last month and what will potentially be taking place on Monday. Is that what you're requesting, Judy?
Well, basically I'm requesting that we give the okay that they can order, after I talk to them, make sure that the pagers and the radios, which I think is what they said last month, that they're working together. Once we find out that's happening, then they can go ahead and order them. But we'll have a good conversation to make sure that it's good. I just hate to wait for another month to order them. That's my only...
No, I agree with that. And I think if they've done the sufficient homework and they double check everything on Monday when you're over with the county and have that discussion. I feel like that's appropriate, but I do think that we have money in that is ear tech. I mean, in our budget, we put a significant amount of money just for the fire department.
Yeah, they do have a good, they've got a good amount in the budget. So, well, anything else, Gladys?
Okay, do you want a motion?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we okay money to be spent for the radios and the pagers for the fire department, correct?
And the EMTs.
And the EMTs.
Yeah, they were going to, I think they're ordering, I think there was 10 of them.
I think we decided we would go ahead and, yeah, as long as they're compatible and we make sure, yeah.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Steve, you want to second it?
I'll second it. As an aside, I got a text from Jimmy. This is the only thing he wanted to make sure. I'm sure there were other things, but he wanted to make sure that there was a motion on the pagers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We've had a motion. We've had it seconded. All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Yes, and the motion carries 4-0. All right, so we got that out of the way. Town right away. Finally, we found out the road is Boulder Town's right away road. It took Les Barker to figure it out. I went up there and I thought, man, I got this all figured out. And I got up there and they printed out the plat map, and it was the same as our plat map. And then, Caden called Les and he said, how come both the site that they go into on their phone, I don't remember what he called it, GSI or something like that, or GIS, and the state, how come they don't show that? And Les said, I think it's my fault. I'll take care of it, but I'll let you know for sure. So last Monday, I found out that, yes, it is a right-of-way. So the next step, now we're going to find the survey marker. When Jimmy gets back, we'll go dig up that survey marker and find it. If not, then we're going to have to survey. We'll have to have the road survey. But I'm hoping that it's there. And if it's there, and we find out where the line is and it's where Jimmy thinks it is, then we're going to have to address that, because it'll go right through Donna's carport if the marker's where he says it is, and it'll go right through straight from the motel straight back, which will take part of the property Donna's son, Robert, is it Robert? I think it's Robert. Anyway. So it's just something we'll have to deal with. I'm sorry that the whole thing's not over, but I feel really good we found out that it's a town right away. So that's out of the way. And now we'll work on the survey markers, and hopefully by April, we'll have this thing taken care of. So any questions for anybody on the council? All right, one more out of the way. Karen's reimbursement funds, we couldn't approve them last month because they weren't on the agenda. So we just need to make a motion and approve the funds for her EMT funds that was, and I didn't bring that with me, but an email was sent out.
Give me a moment, could I, initially I had it before I passed them on to Jimmy, and I thought he was bringing it up tonight, but if you give me one moment, I can find the numbers so I can make a motion to do it.
Okay. We can move on a minute if you want to do that.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay, all right, we can wait a second.
So I was on the initial communication because it was before Jimmy became the liaison for the EMTs, but Karen has been acting as an EMT since last April for the town of Boulder. And she came in with a previous EMT license. And in order for her to recertify and transfer her license, both the national and the Utah, she was asking for reimbursement for that recertification. And so the online application fee was $110.25. Fingerprinting was $21. CPR class was $25. And the gas mileage at the state rate was 103 miles, so $57.68. And so I make a motion to approve the itemized expenses that Karen submitted to the town for recertification and transferring of her EMT license.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Gladys, aye.
Steve, yes.
Elizabeth, yes.
Judy, yes. Motion carries 4-0. All right, good.
And Judy Davis, I can forward you that email just so you have all the breakdown.
Okay. Updating the committee member list. I've got a copy here with me, and I gave everybody a copy a while back. Basically, all we need to do is find out, and Elizabeth, sounds like you've already done that. So Steve, you'll just have to kind of get with the park committee, find out who's still on there. If you need phone numbers, we can give those to you if you need them. Have you already done it, or did you?
I communicated by email with Tina Carlson. And she said that the committee at park committee at this point includes Randy Catmull, Sam Stout, Anna Saunders, Laura DeMay, and Tina herself.
So we got to add, so we take off Julia Robinson and Jeff Sanders.
Correct. He's not on it.
Well, yeah.
Well.
Anna has been in it, but he hasn't.
Okay.
Completely fit.
All right. Well, if he shows up, he shows up.
Huh? That's right.
And Tina. And who else was the other one?
Sam Stout, Randy Catmull, Anna Saunders, and Tina.
Oh, just the four. Okay. Very good.
Oh, Laura DeMay. I'm
sorry. Oh, that's it. That's Laura. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. And so I really was just actually going to have you take the list and then shoot me an email of who's still on there. And then I can update this and then pass them out and everybody's got one. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
We have a cemetery committee.
I just saw you. Oh, there you are. Camille Hall, Stacy Davis, okay. And Carrie Ryan.
Okay, Elena Fever is also on there. And Gladys Fever.
Okay. Okay. Got that. And then I'll let Jimmy do his. He can shoot that to me. And I've got to get in touch with the tree board. I've been so busy, I haven't been able to do that. Did you want to just shoot me an email, Elizabeth, with who's on?
Yeah, I'll just send you an updated one.
Okay, that'll be good. All right, then that'll be taken care of. And then we'll have that next month and I'll pass them out. How's that? All right. Checks, because the computer was down and wouldn't talk to the printer. And I mean, April even went in and tried.
I have to kick it and slam the thing down.
It's just been the pits lately with the, yeah, electronics. I'm telling you, I think it's in the air myself. So we'll postpone the checks till next month. So now the department reports, and we'll have to skip Jimmy because he's not here. Elizabeth, do you have anything?
Sure. Let's see. Planning Commission. Last month, the Planning Commission mostly worked on catching the town ordinances up with the new state legislature regarding vested rights, boundary adjustments, and subdivisions. They also started but didn't finish talking a minor subdivision memo that Lee created in response
Elizabeth, you're breaking up.
From the mission to have a streamlined. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're going in and out.
If somebody else wants to go first, I'll call in.
Okay, Gladys.
I don't have anything unless somebody has questions or anything.
Did you? Are they sending you? I didn't send it over to you, but I didn't see your name on it on a travel council. Have they been sending you stuff on the travel council?
Oh yeah, I go to the meeting.
I just got another one and it didn't have their name on it. I'll send it forward. I'll forward it.
Okay.
I was just busy today, so I didn't get it done.
Yeah.
It came in today, so.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, and Steve, you're good too.
Just what Tina reported. She didn't have much to report. This time they did get the first memorial bench put in for the Baker family in honor of her brother. She's not sure if the requirement and application for benches has been approved by the town.
I haven't heard anything about that.
But she thought that the town council did approve it, but not certain.
Last fall, maybe, huh? Was it last fall? Now that you say it, I think they did on the benches. Well, look.
I think the problem is that the application is not on the site.
It's not what?
On the site, on the town site. Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Okay, write that down. Put a little star by that and we'll check that out. Okay.
And they're waiting to meet again on the request of the town council. I don't know if the town council has any thoughts and ideas about parks development. I don't know if that's something that we should discuss it maybe next month or just leave that with the parks committee to come up with ideas and make proposals. So
that's what you guys usually do, isn't it, Tina? With the park?
Yeah. So Steve was really big push, you know, and you have a lot to do in the beginning. So,
well, you might want to check with the park committee and see if there's something,
yeah,
you know, that you guys really want
to
do.
I kind of want to include Corey on that committee stuff because he's there all the time
and does the maintenance and everything.
Yeah. So, okay. I'll reach out.
Okay, all right, that's good.
That's it.
Okay, Elizabeth.
I can do mine now. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so Planning Commission, let's see, last month the Planning Commission mostly worked on catching the town ordinances up with the new state legislature regarding vested rights, boundary adjustments, and the subdivisions. They also started but didn't finish talking through a minor subdivision memo that Lee Ellis created in response to the interest from the Planning Commission to have a more streamlined process for minor subdivisions. I believe the intention is to help locals make it work more in our town, as well as take the burden off the town of being responsible for more roads that access one or more homes from a driveway. Let's see, library continues to be open on Saturdays, 11 to 1. Occasionally they send updates on Pegboard. The Arts Council right now has Amy Woodbury's artwork currently showing in the community gallery. The next exhibit will be a community collaboration titled Home, and they're requesting community members to share a piece of art from their homes with the community. The end of this month, Saturday, March 26th, they'll be advertising. They're having a workshop called Mending Matters. There will be limited spaces. They are bringing in someone to work with people, and registration will be required. Information is going to be posted on the website, Pegboard, and Facebook, I believe. And the workshop is learning how to patch, stitch, and otherwise repair and renew clothes with visible mending and the art of wabi-sabi. Let's see. Last one would be Garfield County School District. The next school board meeting is scheduled for March 17th in Panguitch. As you all know, their board travels around the county and meets in the various communities. Once a year, they come to Boulder, and their following meeting in April. is going to be the opportunity for people to attend an in-person meeting without having to travel.
Okay. All right. Me. If you didn't notice, the AED is up. It's over on the wall, so that it's in place. That's good. If you read the Insider, you saw that Peg received the prestigious Yoko Ono, I hope I said that right, award for service. And, you know, she's done so much in service. I just think about Pegboard. That Pegboard in itself is, to me, absolutely amazing to keep up with everything that she does. So we want to say congratulations, Peg. That's really cool. We had a public hearing on a zone change from agriculture to commercial. It's right out of the Escalante area. It's actually really going to be cool. They told us the things they were going to do. They're going to begin with cabins. It's a family project. They were there for about 15, 20 minutes telling us all the things that they were planning in the near future. And it's going to be quite the deal. It's right off of Highway 12 out of Escalante. I had the address at home. I don't want to tell you something that's not true, because I was thinking it was like a couple of miles, but it may not even be that far out. But anyway, that was approved, and they got the zone changed to commercial. We approved a subdivision amendment at the Beaver Dam Village Unit. They just combined lots 19 and 20 to make lot 20. There was a conditional use permit came up for a primitive campground, but they had solid waste issues, so we had to table it. They wanted to look further into it. So that's basically all I have right now. So I guess unless somebody else got something else, we'll take public comments. Got any public comments?
I'm interested. The Planning Commission has researched about the dumpsters and commercial, and the county said that as far as they're concerned, not ask for another dumpster, everybody can use it, including the commercial.
Yeah. They can.
So is that something that the mayor does here?
Well, I kind of been doing it only because I've been, you know, over to the Garfield Planning Commission. When it starts really, we start getting real busy, we had an extra one even over at Hills and Hollows because it gets so bad up there. Just like the main dumpsters do. So I'm going to ask for some more this year.
Okay.
I don't want to put any more down by the Anasazi. I kind of like to keep them up here by the rest of the dumpsters. It's kind of rough down there. I was thinking too, if anybody has any more ideas, if you think we need more than that, I was going to get the one back at Hills and Hollow for sure. And then put another one down. They didn't give us the second one last year. They said they would, but for whatever reason, he said he had them too. Dave said he had them. So I'll mention that again to him, see if we can get another. So
you're putting the other one right next to it.
Yeah, I'll put another one up there. Anybody else want to comment? Public? We good?
I have one thing that I would, can I ask?
Sure.
I think there was an item on the agenda that we might have missed. Funds for a temporary town assistant. Did we want to do that?
Yes. The So what I did was I had two agendas and didn't realize I had two up, and I put it on one and didn't put it on the one I posted, but we do. And since it's Vicki Catmull has volunteered to come and help us, I don't think she wants the position fully. However, she did say she would like to see what is all entailed, so whatever that means, but we definitely need the help. And we've got filing to do. Judy has told me that eventually she would like to phase out to filing and not be so busy. So that would, until we get a permanent clerk, that would really help out right now. We're kind of playing catch up on a few things, and we've got to get that filing and that whole closet cleaned out. And we've got reports and quarterlies coming up. So we really do need somebody right now. So.
And we had one person show interest. Is that what you said?
No, Vicky's the only one that I know of.
That's what I was saying. Just one person.
Yeah, just Vicky. She said she's more than glad to, you know, and so that's what I'd like to do for right now. Anyway, we'll keep it out there, you know, because we've got to have a clerk. So, but this would be a good opportunity for her to help and see if maybe that's something she wants to do. If not, we'll just keep it out there and get caught up and do what we have to do.
Well, I think we've okayed money before for somebody to help Judy, like Mrs. Muse.
Okay, it doesn't require a motion, does it?
Peg would like to talk.
Oh, Peg. Okay, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to tell everybody that my website and PMN notice about the Planning Commission meeting mistakenly had tonight's date on it. So I fixed that on the website and PMN. I'll get the notice reprinted and reposted on the bulletin board. It's Planning Commission next Thursday as usual. It's not tonight. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. So are everybody good? Good meeting. We got
it. Motion adjourned.
A second.
All right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Elizabeth, we're adjourning. Good. That worked. Thank you, everybody.
Sorry, I couldn't figure out how to unmute the phone. Okay. Good night, everyone. Thank you.